At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only 10 bucks every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
Welcome to the Wheeler Dealer Podcast, supported by MyMotorWorld.com. Discover over 70,000 car parts, car care products, accessories, and tools from the biggest and best brands in the automotive industry. At MyMotorWorld.com, we've got the lot.
Hello everyone, it's Mike Brewer, the Wheeler Dealer, and welcome to the Wheeler Dealer Podcast. Alongside me, as ever, in the passenger seat, I always like to look left when I get in the car to just make sure he's there. It's my little comfort blanket. It's none other than my wingman, Mr. Andy Jay!
He looks left, but he swipes right, ladies and gentlemen. Hooray!
And there she is. I can hear her
already. Do you look over your shoulder?
I do look over my shoulder. I'm adjusting the rearview mirror right now, just so I can, well, basically frame you out.
Can you see me?
I just want to frame you out, Michelle, because she's there nagging in the background. As ever, it's Mrs. B!
Hey! Yay! Always there, always there.
Yeah, you join us on another journey through the A to Z of cars. Our regular listeners know what's coming up, but if you've just found us, may I invite you, see what I've done there, to join us as we ignite another Wheeler Dealer Podcast.
Oh, that was special, Mike. Very inventive. I love it.
Oh, nice one.
We are firing our way into the letter I. Yes, it's our A to Z of cars, and it's all about I.
Yeah, Andy, everyone is welcome because we are...
Ice cream.
Hold on.
Did you just say ice cream?
Michelle, don't shout out words with I in them when I'm halfway through.
She just shouted out
random words like ice cream.
Moving on.
Welcome, everyone, because we are, you can love this, inclusive. You like that? Oh, no, it went down like a wet fart, that did. I thought that was really funny.
Oh,
I can see that there's no I in this team at the moment.
So what are we inviting our audience into today?
Well, we can invite them into the world.
What are we driving?
That's a good one. We need something beginning with I and something that's got
Italian?
Enough space for all of us.
Italian?
Blimey, that's a good one, Andy. I mean, there's a lot of cars out there now, beginning with I, isn't there? Because, you know, you've got the BMW range. They've got lots of I's in them. And where's that Jaguar? You've got the Jaguar, the I-Pace.
Strangest named car out there, the I-Pace. Anyway, that's by the by.
You're going to love this. We are in an Aston Martin. Now, you're going to say that doesn't begin with I. But our Aston Martin is the one that Pierce Brosnan had in the James Bond film because it's invisible.
Okay. That is cool.
How good is that, eh? We've just pulled on the invisibility cloak. But yeah, we've had lots of our listeners get in touch with us about the letter I.
Yep.
Obviously, ignition is a great one that they kept telling us all about ignition. And I'd like to think that we've ignited their passion into cars with our wonderful podcast that we're bringing to them.
Love that.
Also, lots of people want to talk about injection as well. And they're saying about, you know, the word injection and how important has that been to the motor industry. And I think it has been important. I mean, I come from a period, unlike Michelle comes from a period, unlike you, Andy, because you're a mere baby, from a time when we used to know cars had carburetors, right? So I don't know if you know what a carburetor is, Andy, but it's this thing with a choke that sits.
I remember the days of the choke.
Keys.
I used to love it.
We're pulling keys. The choke out on the dashboard. Where did that go?
Used to love it, you know, because it became an art, didn't it? You're kind of learning just when to push it in slowly when the engine was warm enough.
Exactly, right. Yeah. So we can remember a period of time, and lots of these listeners out there won't actually have ever experienced this, when you used to get in a car and there was a, and this is true, folks, you got in a car and there was a knob on the dashboard that you had to pull out, and it had this piece of sort of stiff cable behind it. You pull it out before you started the car, pump the accelerator a few times, and that's the choke, and that was to get it started. And when you pulled away, it was coughing and spluttering, and you'd have to, as Andy said, you'd have to get to a point where you're gently pushing your choke back in when your engine warms up. But then we had the invention somewhere, it probably come from the aircraft industry, of injection, which that means that the fuel is injected straight into the top of the cylinder heads, and it limits the need, it does away with the need for having this choke cable, because now it's all run by a computer and it's automatic. And so you have an automatic choke on your car. And injection really transformed the way that we started to use our cars, because an injection car got the fuel in quicker, therefore the car was quicker. And companies like Volkswagen started to use the I for injection to great effect on their models and on their cars. Peugeot followed suit after, and then Renault jumped into the game, and everyone started to put an I on the back of their cars, because these cars had this new thing called injection. So it was a GTI, a Grand Tourer injection. But now, as Andy said earlier about the I-PACE, the I has moved from the end of the lettering of cars, GTI, and it's now moved to the beginning of the lettering. So now lots of cars are starting with the letter I, and that's in some way to say that we are, I don't know what they're trying to say, Andy, that they're modern or...
futuristic.
Futuristic.
Well, I mean, it's thanks to the iPhone, isn't it? They've kind of all jumped on. It's almost like calling the car a piece of tech.
It is, yeah. And it must come from, you know, iPad, iPhone. You know, they're just putting an eye in front of anything for the sake of it. But no, I do believe that injection, the word injection for the letter I, made a pivotal and a very important part in our motoring landscape.
You see, that's one of the things that I always love about doing this podcast with you guys. I always find it eye for interesting, because Mike, you're just such a well of knowledge. You know, you're kind of like a professor sometimes. And you know, the what you were talking about.
Haven't you seen him in his white coat?
It's age, Andy. It all comes down to age, I'm afraid. I've been around the block a few years. And talking of I, you know, I've been in the industry, Andy, since I was a 16-year-old lad, you know, buying and selling cars, and started when I was 8 with my dad fixing cars up. But yeah, the industry at the moment, the car industry is really going through this meteoric change, and we are being forced down this road of I, if you like, because we're all being told that in the future we need to be driving these new electric cars, the II electric cars. Yeah, so the industry is going through a big change at the moment. And what's really telling about it as well is that how, you know, when they forced us into buying these electric cars, and they do that by telling us, you know, if you buy this car, you pay less tax or you won't pay any road tax. It's funny how the governments have now gone, ooh, where's that bit of income we used to have that's now not coming? So I'll tell you what we're going to do. We can now start taxing these electric cars. And from this year, next year, electric cars are all going to start being taxed as normal, which is a bit of a shame.
Bit like diesel.
It does feel like diesel, doesn't it? I distinctly remember being sort of informed that buy diesel because it's cheaper and better for the planet, yeah, better for you and all the rest of it. And we all jumped ship. We all did what we were told. We were all incentivized to do that. And we all followed suit like good little lemmings. And it does feel a little bit like they've done exactly the same with electric cars. They give it with one hand, enough people follow, and then they start taking away. And it's a lack of accountability from some of these people in power. You know, some of them know they're only there for a very short time. 4 years is not long. It's not long enough to make decisions and then live with those decisions. It's enough to make us change, and then you're out the hot seat.
That's
you're
right.
Off.
Yeah,
no accountability.
I love that Invisible. About you, Andy. See?
Invisible.
See, I love that about you. Surprise me every time we get on this podcast. You are a wealth of this knowledge as well. Andy, let me throw a question at you, right?
Okay.
In terms of this new era of I'm going to bring it up to modern cars, not old cars, to modern cars, this new era of I. Is there another I for you? Is there an iconic car amongst them?
Wow. Are we talking about electric cars here, Mike, or is that what you're referring to?
Well, yes, I'm referring to that. Is there ever, you know, because you can say iconic cars, Jaguar E-Type is an iconic car. A Mini is an iconic car. A Range Rover is an iconic car. But they're petrol cars, right? So if think about that. We are going to be in a world where everyone's driving around in Ionics and, you know, I-Paces and VW Buzz and that kind of stuff. Is there anything out there that's caught your attention so far, and you've gone, that's going to be iconic, that is?
There's two There's two, actually, Mike, thinking about it.
Go on.
Two.
Go on. I couldn't even think of one, but go for it.
There's two of them. One of them I've mentioned on this show before, and that is the BMW i8. I think that is a future classic. You know, it's a really cool car. Yes, it's not entirely electric, but it was one of the early adopters. It was a full pioneer. It looks awesome. It's got those crazy doors. Yeah, so that for me, that's one of them. The other, I think, is the first car that, in my opinion, represented a new wave of electric converts, of EV fans, because suddenly everybody looked at it and went, they either thought it was really cute or they thought it was dynamic and different. That being the Honda E.
Honda E.
Do you know, I've forgotten about that car.
Yeah, I think that will stand the test of time. When we're looking through car museums in 20, 30, 40 years, I think the Honda E will be one that is still retaining its place, because it did break barriers in terms of design. Even though it's not that different from what we're used to, it was just taking those steps, saying, look, we know what we can do now with space, with a skateboard platform and so on, so we're going to give you the cute car you've been waiting for and the quirky dashboard that you can play a computer game console through and have a fish tank on and all the rest of it. And it made people smile. And so I think those would be my two picks, Mike. I don't know, there's probably loads more, but those are two that stand out in my mind.
Well, I couldn't even pick one, Andy. I'll be honest with you, I'm sitting here trying to pick one, but that Honda E.
You've nailed it.
That Honda E, what a great little car. I mean, it is
cute.
A great little car.
They're really cute.
My brain going. I better look one up, see what they're like now on the used car prices. And as for the i8, yeah, I mean, I just love that car. Yeah. I just think it's a great looking car, even though it's quite old now, isn't it? The i8's been around 5-6 years, but still, when you pass one on the street, you still take two looks at it, or if you catch one on the motorway, you slow yourself down to have a stare at it as you drive past it. They're astonishing looking things. I absolutely love those. They're very futuristic. Sold quite a few, actually, at my dealership. So they're good news. Really good news.
I'd love one. I'd love to own an i8.
Thank you very much for that, Andy. We're going to take a quick interval. See what I did there? Interval. Containing information about our sponsor, but when we come back, we'll continue with our iChat with a very iconic guest. You're listening to the Wheeler Dealer Podcast, brought to you by mymotorworld.com. Need something for your vehicle? Screen wash, coolant, wiper blades, brake discs and pads, engine oils, you name it. Well, check out mymotorworld.com for the exact fit parts and car care products for your pride and joy. That's mymotorworld.com. They've simply got the lot.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
You're listening to the Wheeler Dealer Podcast.
Welcome back to the Wheeler Dealer Podcast. Now, we are taking our trip through the automotive alphabet this week, and our special letter is I. And right now, we have something that is frankly impossible. Mike, what's going on?
Right, one of my little roles that I do in the background is being the chairman. I can't believe I'm saying the word chairman. The chairman of the patrons at the Coventry Transport Museum. Not a lot of people know that I'm a chairman of a museum somewhere in my portfolio of things. And being a chairman of a museum, you've got brilliant things on display. Now, on display are two of the world's fastest ever cars. They are Thrust 1 and Thrust 2. There's even a simulator you can sit in and experience what it was like behind the wheel with Andy Green in Thrust 2 when he smashed the world record at 763 miles an hour. It's incredible, absolutely incredible. But they've also got this great big model in there that takes up half of the building. It's gigantic, and it's a model of the next great British hope.
Wow.
And it's called Bloodhound. And this is the car that Richard Noble started to build that he was hoping to get it to 1,000 miles an hour on land. I mean, it's insane. It's insane, right? Now, this project has been going on a while, and it's had a couple of little bumps along the road. Something like a global pandemic got in the way and some other things got in the way. But the good news is it hasn't gone away. The project is still there. It's still got passionate people behind it. It's got a great team of engineers and people that have driven, a great team. They are driven to get to 1,000 miles an hour. Now, I am absolutely thrilled and delighted, and I can't wait to talk to this guy because they have a new project leader who is going to lead this project. He's got some things to say about it and get this car and break this break our own world record so we can put Britain firmly on the map globally, and nobody will touch it for decades to come. So put your hands together, ladies and gentlemen. Let's bring in team leader, Mr. Stuart Edmondson.
Wow. Thank you very much. Wow, what an honour to be here.
Stuart, seriously, you know, you have got the room, because this is, I know what you're going through at the moment, so you've got the room. This is a chance for us and our listeners to tune in to just how crazy this project is, it has been, and where it's going to be, and how we can, you know, try to, I don't know, talk to our great uncle who's got a tech company in California and might send rockets to space, or somebody that makes a fizzy energy drink and could listen to this podcast and say, actually, I fancy getting beyond that.
Right up
so, over to you. First of all, what is your role and what do you do?
Well, I'm now the CEO or project leader for the Bloodhound Lead Speed Record project. But I didn't join as that. I joined as an engineer in the early days when Richard Noble ran the project, and I was responsible for all the engineering operations of the car, where we successfully ran the car at Newquay. Thousands of people went down to Newquay Airport and watched us do our low speed testing. And then I was responsible for running the car in South Africa just before COVID, where we got 628 miles per hour. And that was all the high speed testing. And it's all about testing. I mean, I could bore you to death about testing and the importance of testing. But that was highly successful. And we brought the car back, and the pandemic hit. And as you quite rightly pointed out, we've got a car that's proven, car's ready to go. I do need a few more pennies to get this car back to South Africa and then hopefully break the current land speed record and take it from there.
Before we get to the pennies and the owners and all the rest of it, I mean, you just threw a number out there. You said, like, you know, we took it down, did some testing, got to 600 miles an hour, as if you're just throwing that comment away.
Yeah, but
you know,
that must be expensive just to pull that
off.
Oh,
God, you can imagine the cost of all of this to put together.
Cheese rolls.
You know, you are gonna put somebody, a human being, in a missile and send them across land. So you want to make sure you don't kill that person. So to engineer the safety into the vehicle that's going to handle at that speed cost a huge, extraordinary amount of money. I would hazard a guess that this is all going to come at a bargain price, all of this. This is all going to come at a bargain price, because I would imagine most of the money has already been spent and written off, and what's left to pay is just to get to the record. So just how complicated and difficult is it to get to 1,000 miles an hour?
Very, very. But engineers and scientists love that challenge. And a lot of work has already been done on Bloodhound to get it this far, as you said. I mean, yeah, 600, over 1,000 kilometres an hour is a substantial speed. And I think the key thing here, that the technology we have compared to previous records, is computer technology. So the aerodynamic modeling of all of this was done on a supercomputer, but we do need to test it. And hence that cautious approach we're taking. But what is fundamental in the step we've already taken is we've proven the car and compared the real data to the model data. And that was the fundamental point. So you're right. Most of the work and the money has been spent, and all the clever stuff, all the engineering and science has already been done. So, yeah, the money needed is to reform the team, get the car ready and redeploy it with a rocket from NAMO, which is build rockets for the European Space Agency, to give it the final thrust and then out to South Africa and run it. So, yeah, tens of millions have already been sunk. You know, I'm in such a confident position now, having demonstrated. Most people talk to record cars, you know, people have built cars in the past. They haven't actually run, but Bloodhound has run and proven, and the data correlates well with the computer modelling.
My brain is just like, it's scrambled because, first and foremost, I've met both Richard Noble, I've interviewed him, and Andy Green, I've interviewed him. Who's wearing the harness in this one and the brain bucket? Who's going to strap themselves in?
Yeah, so Andy Green is a current record holder, currently the driver of Bloodhound. So that's the plan. He ran the car in South Africa. So, yeah, I mean, he's experienced. So that's a key thing.
You just used the word he's experienced. There's probably, only like one or two or three people on the planet who would be experienced at getting anywhere near that kind of speed.
No, absolutely. Absolutely. I can't imagine what they're going through. I mean, you can go online. We've got all the videos are online. I mean, the speed is phenomenal. When you're doing, ultimately, we get up to 800 miles per hour, you're doing a mile in less than 5 seconds. It's phenomenal. And to take it all in, I mean, to see the car, because obviously I don't drive the car, to see it externally stand on the desert as it flies by, you've never seen anything move as quick. I mean, it's faster than a fighter jet. And obviously my background in the Air Force, I've seen fighter jets fly over. They're relatively slow compared to a car at ground level doing 800 miles per hour.
Right. Now, this project is currently for sale, which you've just told me about before we got online. It's currently for sale. So Michelle has got some, you know, if you're going to go in the showroom and kick the tyres, Michelle's got some questions.
Yeah. Does it come with a full service history?
Absolutely.
How many owners?
How many miles on the clock?
Two owners. So
from you.
And low mileage.
Yeah. How many miles?
Well, each run, you know, at the moment at low speed, it's a few miles. And then when ultimately we do the high speed run, each run is potentially up to about 10 miles. So, yeah, and we've done about 20 odd runs in the desert. So if we do another 20, yeah, I mean, it's low mileage.
So it's got a fully stamped service history then, yeah?
Absolutely. Including
and
road tax on the screen.
Yeah. Don't put it on the road. So, but I would say we've got it signed off engineering by Rolls-Royce because the jet engine in there. So Rolls-Royce are partners with us. So they can give you the full engine history as well because obviously the engine was in a fighter aircraft. And that's all got a maintenance history that you can, by all means, if you're interested in buying it, Mrs. B, you can I'll show you all the documentation.
Has it got parking sensors, Stuart? Because, you know, that's a big thing these days.
Yeah.
No, and it's not got a great turning circle. So we're looking at, 100, 200 metre turning circle to get it round.
I can't nip down Audis then.
No, but if you're the owner, then I'm up for any challenge, ultimately land speed record. But if there are other challenges thrown at the team, well, we can look at it.
This is one of those moments where you go, this has to happen. You know, that we have the will of this podcast, the will of the people, the will of Great Britain, the will of anyone in the world. This just has to happen. And the reason why it has to happen, as Stuart has already said, there has been tens of millions of pounds already sunk into this project, and it's got to where it is. It's already proven doing 600 miles an hour. Now to get it over the line and to break its own record, to break our own land speed record, is only going to cost, I reckon, a bargain amount of money. How much money are you actually looking for, Stuart, for a new owner?
I'm looking for £10 million.
That's nothing. I mean, I'm going to just throw this out there. That will be the party money that Red Bull would spend for the Grand Prix. won't it? That's just going to be Red Bull's let's go and have a party at the end of every Grand Prix money, where I think that with Red Bull colours on it, screaming up at the, you know, screaming up the wherever it is in the desert, would be more beneficial to him, because apparently Red Bull gives you wings. So I reckon that would be brilliant for him.
I agree. And I think there's two points to add to this. I mean, the other thing that counts against us potentially is the old fossil fire-breathing machines. Well, I'm intending to set the first net zero land speed record, so I won't be using any fossil fuel. And ultimately, it'll be net zero. And there's a long discussion to explain that. But I think engineering needs to demonstrate that we can still do things sustainably. And then the other thing that I think is so exciting, and what got the project off the ground in the first place with Richard Noble and the government, this is such an inspiration to the next generation of thinking about science and engineering. You know, I go and present at schools, and the feedback, you know, young kids are just in awe, just like you are, Mike. I mean, it is inspiring, and we do need more engineers and scientists to, you know, to meet the challenges we face. Sustainability is a big problem. We're only going to solve that with more engineers.
Listen, the wheeler dealer, the salesman in me has kicked in here, right? Because this is a 10 million quid bargain, right? It really is. As I say, it's probably had, I don't know, 50, 60 million dumped into it, and it's a 10 million quid bargain with somebody's name attached to it. Don't this country, Great Britain, don't we have somebody, let me just guess, somebody that already burns fossil fuels with a jet engine who lives on his own island that owned a big record company?
With a penchant for hot air balloons, mate.
Exactly. Yeah. Don't we have that kind of person out there?
That is the person.
Yeah, absolutely, and you're not the first. Now, I can't go into details, but I may have spoken to people like that already.
Well, listen, he listens to the Wheeler Dealer podcast, and I'm telling Mr. Richard Branson right now, right, from me, Andy and Michelle, right, get your fingers in your wallet and buy this project, because this will put Virgin on, well, it's already on the map, but it'll put them on the, you are always trying to break records, Mr. Branson. Here's a record waiting for you. All you need to do is just, I mean, he probably earns that in interest every week. With his accounts, that mean nothing to a man like him, and this will absolutely give Britain so much pride. And not only that, as you say, he can use all those resources, all of that stuff can be demonstrated in schools around the world and Great Britain and around the world to inspire the next run of engineers. I just think it's an incredible project.
No brainer.
Well, I just want to say I'm blown away by Mike's sales pitch as well, and I'm just looking at it here. It would look pretty great with a big picture of Mike on the side as well. I mean, Mike thinks it's a bargain, you know. Big picture of Mike on the back fin.
It looked like one of those, you know, the buses that go up and down the M40 with a big face on the back. I forget what they call it. It just looked like that with my face, the size of it. They'd need to scale it
up. It'd be so quick you wouldn't even see it.
Well, I was going to say, you know, we should maybe sponsor it with the Wheeler Dealer podcast. But the problem is, you know, what is it? 800 miles an hour speed of sound. It's going to go faster than that. So it's not ideal for a pod.
No,
it's not. But listen, I wish you and we wish you not only every success, we wish this project into life. You know, I think if you will something into life, it will happen. I can see that you've got that, Stuart. You know, you've jumped on board with this project when most people, you know, would have abandoned it. But with the engineering and the money that's already been spent, it's a bargain to just get it over the line and make us really, really proud. At a time when the world needs something positive, I think this is absolutely it. The thing that we would love as the Wheeler Dealers, if this record is to happen, the money is in place and the funding's happening, we would like to be trackside and watch this happen and bring our pod from there.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, really, and the exciting thing is this will be the first land speed record where it'll all be live. So everybody will be on their phones. You can have different camera views, driver, tail fin, looking down on engine, you know, trackside. The idea is to get as much engagement as possible, especially those younger people.
Exciting.
So, Mike, thank you. I need people to push it. I do. And passionate people like yourselves, it really helps.
And I got a funny feeling that after this record break, when it happens, you've broken the records, it will happen. And it's done its tour. It's been around the world. It's shown itself off. It's been to all the schools. It will end up in Coventry Transport Museum, sitting alongside Frost One and Frost Two, and as the chairman of that museum, I'd be very proud to see it there. You, Stuart, are one of life's beautiful people. We love you coming on our podcast and sharing your story with us. We are going to will this story into life, and we wish you every success. And you go get it.
Can I just ask one very quick thing, Stuart, before you disappear? I just want to ask one very quick question, if that's all right. I appreciate your pilot is very experienced and fully ready for this challenge. But should he decide when it comes to test time that he just can't do it for whatever reason, just how much training would Mike have? Because I would love to see that.
Yeah, because Mike would do that.
Yeah,
Mike
wouldn't he?
Yeah. Right, and that's maybe another podcast. I think that's another podcast to answer that one.
I mean, what are we, half an hour, 2 hours, couple of days?
Yeah, maybe a couple of runs. Yeah, a couple of runs.
I'll
yeah,
tell
simple.
You what, he's fast in a car.
I bet you this would be good as well. If somebody was to do a simulator, like a computer game simulator of it, or maybe you try it on your phone, you know, I would imagine it's the most you're flying a jet plane on the ground.
Indeed. Discipline, lots of attributes. But yeah, maybe another podcast on driving it one day.
Lots of salads.
It'd only get 5 mile an hour with me in it, Andy. Look at the size of me.
I reckon it'd be amazing. I'd love to see that, Mike.
You get the money. Yeah. Yeah. Well, anything's possible.
Genuinely, right, I'm going to say this. Really, I'm going to say it just in case it does bloody happen. You never know. If I won the chunky Euro Millions, I'm buying this. You do know that, Michelle.
Oh, my God.
I will. I'll buy it. And I'll put a picture of me on the side of it like Andy.
You've got to be piloting it as well, Mike. That would be just amazing.
As long as there's a service history, it's got stamps in the book.
And that's the message right. I want to get out there. You know, yeah. I'm up for talking with anybody who's wishing to push this. I want someone who's passionate. I'm doing this because I just want to get it done. I'm so emotionally connected. And if someone's got the money, maybe not the skill of driving, but once it's happened, then they need to come and chat to me. If they've got the driving skill and they want to drive it and they've got the money, then come and chat to me.
There's plenty of zillionaires out there that listen to this.
And I think if anyone's going to pull it off, you are the person to make it happen.
Absolutely.
Passion, Stuart. Passion, passion.
Absolutely. Stuart Edmondson, Bloodhound. Go and smash that record.
Yeah,
you have
get
our
it.
Love. Well done, Yay! Mate. Well done.
Thank you. Goodbye.
I love it. So I is for investment, impossible, inspiring, invention. I imagine insurance as well, you know, to pilot that.
Yeah, very good.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know about you, Andy, but I'm inspired and in awe after talking to Stuart. I really wish him all the best. But just a little question, Andy. I know you like to get behind the wheel. Would you drive it?
Yes, I would. Do you know, I've often thought about these things. I would never want to be a racing driver. I'd never want to do that. Don't fancy that. Too risky. But breaking the land speed record. Oh, yeah. Bring it on. I'd hate it physically, but I'd love to give it a try. Straight line, yeah bring it on.
Imagine the tickets you get as well on your in the points.
Well, you'd be going too
license.
Quick. Try and flash this.
It'd be too fast.
Try and flash this. I'd be well up for it,
mate. It's a bit of a selfish drive though, because you wouldn't have me in the car with you.
Well, it would be a squeeze, and I'm not sure there'd be room for Mrs. B in the back either.
I'd be in the sidecar attached. Don't
worry. Sidecar.
You can't get rid of me.
I don't know about you. I don't know about you, but
I've got my helmet.
I just visualised that. I just visualised a Bloodhound, which looks like a rocket on the ground, with a little
Bubble.
1950s motorcycle
yeah,
pod
love it, love
on the
it.
Outside of me, in an open face yes. helmet and goggles on, sat beside
can't
it.
Wait, can't
and
wait.
You could just imagine the report afterwards, couldn't you? So how was the run, guys? Well, we were going for 800 miles an hour. We managed to get 50. Right, why is that? We had a sidecar attached.
Yeah, well, hold on. There's not a lot of weight in that sidecar. I'm helping you get along.
Aerodynamics might be slightly messed up, right?
Yeah. You need me in the side. Don't worry
I think
about
that'd be amazing.
It's just brilliant.
I think that'd be amazing.
This has just been brilliant. Listen, if you've got a reaction to this...
I've got my stripes.
If you've got a reaction to this incredible podcast, then please let us know. You never know. We could read your name out and read your review out on the podcast the next time you listen to it. You can get in touch with us. It's really easy. Andy J is on Twitter and Instagram at Andy J.
Don't follow him.
Mrs. M. Brewer on Twitter and Instagram.
Send your questions.
I'm Mike Brewer on Twitter and Instagram. And I'm also Wheeler Dealer on Facebook. Do please get in touch. Let us know whether we're going down the right path on this podcast. We make it for you. And if there's something you want or something you don't like, please let us know because we can edit it as we go along.
And incidentally, regarding the socials, just thinking about your question to me, Mike, there, would I pilot the Bloodhound given the opportunity? I reckon Mrs. B should run a poll on one of her feeds and find out how many of our listeners would and how many wouldn't, because I'd love to know the percentage of people that would get behind it.
Yes, these are people that want to evolve themselves to extinction, but yeah, if you do, then please get in touch with Mrs. B.
Yeah, Roadrunner. Remember Roadrunner?
Roadrunner.
Remember that bird?
Yeah. From Michelle.
Yeah, and all those ladies out there, bring the questions in. Come on, ladies out there, the Wheeler Dealer ladies. In the seat.
All right, you finished talking. No, really. From me and Michelle, we want to say ta-la.
Ta-la.
This has been a TVI Media production. We'll be back next week. Bye-bye.
The Wheeler Dealer podcast was brought to you by MyMotorWorld.com. Discover over 70,000 car parts, car care products, accessories and tools from the leading brands in automotive. All delivered to your door. Just visit MyMotorWorld.com. They've got the lot. If you're looking for a car, then why not try MikeBrewerMotors.com? You can find us out there on the internet. If you're looking for a used van and a cheap car, then why not try us at oneautomotive.co.uk? We got everything you could possibly need.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.